always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Was it appropriate for Speaker Johnson to show up at the trial of the former president today?
So look, I can't speak to, don't want to comment, obviously, as this is related to 2024 elections, and I can't speak to the Speaker's schedule. That is something for him to decide on.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9 941 News Talk STL, 5:06 in the PM. Be safe driving home or as you're out and about here on this Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. Chris, she finally said it, the quiet part out loud. I'm not exactly sure what a criminal trial in New York City has to do with the election unless Corinne Jean-Pierre says, well, that's what this case has to do with. It has to do with the election. It has to do with keeping Donald Trump from electioneering. I'm glad she finally admitted that.
Reason number 275 why she is probably the worst press secretary ever. The reason why Ann Dunn, a senior White House advisor, is trying to drum her out of the job.
Uh-huh.
And why they tried to get her into Emily's List, making $175,000 running that pro-abortion group that funds pro-choice candidates. She turned that down and said, I'm not going anywhere. You're not going to drum me out. But the handwriting is on the wall for her. They would love for her to leave.
Mm-hmm. And as Vic Porcelli and Ken Williams say every morning, she continues to careen into the abyss. Yes, Vic and Ken have an entire segment dedicated every week to Corinne Jean-Pierre and her constant and frequent screw-up. So there she is admitting that Alvin Bragg's trial has nothing to do with a pursuit of justice and the law and equality under the law. It has everything to do with keeping Donald Trump off of the election trail.
Exactly. And unfortunately for them, it's only helping Donald Trump. We saw the polls yesterday in the five swing states. His numbers are incredible, especially in Nevada. In Ohio, he's at 50%. So if they're trying to keep him in trials and in courtrooms and not on the campaign trail to keep him from winning, it's not working. And I just heard a poll yesterday. I'll have to get which poll it was. But Donald Trump, 23-24% African-American support. And this is a poll that's credible. It's not some off the wall.
Historic, right?
Oh, definitely historic.
So, Chris, it's backfiring, right? It's backfiring. And I don't know what would happen if the media wasn't attacking Donald Trump every single day, if he didn't have 92 counts that he was fighting in court. Mm. I don't know if his numbers would go up or down. But as you just pointed out, all of this lawfare was meant to cripple him, and it seems to only bring him more attention. I mean, every single time he walks out of that New York courtroom, every single network, cable and Dinosaur Legacy Media, all the cameras are on him. He couldn't buy that much media every day.
You can't. After the trial, every single night, there are a bank of cameras and microphones sitting there waiting for him to make a statement. They are waiting on with bated breath on what he is going to say. And again, you can't buy that type of media coverage. All he has to do is get up before those cameras and whatever live programming the cable networks are doing at that time, they're going to stop and go to see what the president has mm-hmm. to say.
I'm going to talk about the blatant bogusness, if that's a word, of this. According to two gentlemen, two scholars that I respect immensely, a fellow I call the modern day philosopher king, Victor Davis Hanson of Stanford, and of course, Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans von!
Of the Heritage Foundation. They both wrote about, Hans specifically wrote about the Bragg trial. Victor Davis Hanson gave a quote recently that kind of encapsulates everything, that is included in the lawfare against Donald Trump. So I'm going to read you some excerpts from something that they recently wrote, and I think it really encapsulates and explains not just how unfair this is, but how dangerous all of this is to the Republic. This is greater than Donald Trump. I'll talk about that in a minute.
Because just think, if Donald Trump was a relatively wealthy man, but he would be broke. It's, you look at this and you're like, thank God he's a billionaire that he can hire the attorneys that he needs to defend himself. Because anybody else, they would have folded the tent a long time ago and would have had convictions against them. Mm-hmm. Thank God, in this sense, he has wealth.
Yeah, he's able to fundraise off of this to continue to pay these legal bills. And Chris, as you were talking about the three Democrats, and I had forgotten, I thank you for bringing our listeners, reminding all of us about the fact there are three prominent Democratic politicians, a congressman, a U.S. senator, and the mayor of the city of New York, all under investigation.
Serious investigation.
Menendez's trial has actually started. Yeah. All three of them, you hardly hear a peep. The media like mentions it because they have to, and then they move on. How about the fact that and he was a weirdo. Weirdo George Santos was kicked out of Congress, and yet all three of those guys, I guess because they're Democrats, still get to keep their titles and their offices.
Exactly. I mean, they'll say, look, we need to keep the focus on the president of the United States, the former president, because he can disrupt democracy and he's dangerous to the republic. But these are very serious charges against the mayor of the largest city in our nation, and a congressman and a senator. Mm-hmm. And these are serious charges. These aren't charges where you're like, come on, that's not maybe a crime, you know, like with Donald Trump. But these are, you know, these are serious charges.
Well, with Menendez, you're talking about Sopranos level evidence, right? We're talking gold bars sewn into suits. Yeah. We're talking stacks of cash behind walls.
They've lifted fingerprints off the cash.
Yes.
To link it to the guy that paid him the money, the banker.
And as you point out, this isn't just some kind of like low level petty theft or, you know, local organized crime. These guys are dealing with foreign governments.
Exactly friendly with this. Egypt and Azerbaijan. It's not like it's Great Britain and France or something, you know?
But wasn't that what Donald Trump was supposed to have done with the Russians, that everyone lit their hair on fire for 3 years?
Yeah.
Russian collusion?
Yeah.
What about all the collusion that Cuellar, Menendez, and Adams are doing with foreign governments? Again, two tiers of justice. And folks, when you think to yourself, oh, that's just Donald Trump. No, if they can do it to Trump, they can do it to you next.
And speaking of two tiers, what about Donald Trump gets impeached for supposedly holding up weapons to Ukraine, but Joe Biden can stop weapons to Israel and use that as foreign policy leverage? No big deal.
And we're not supposed to. It's just like what Reagan did. No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, as Jim Talent told us on Monday. That reminds me, folks, if you miss any of our shows, we have a little friendly competition going on here every week. We always look at who has downloaded the most podcasts from all the shows. Sometimes Chris and I are first, sometimes we're second, sometimes we're third. We always want to be first. So we want you to go to wherever you get you know what? You can download the other shows too, but make sure you always download our show. Wherever you get podcasts, download the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show podcast. Joey V, the best producer in the land, he's got that podcast up like before the paint is dried on the program.
Hour one is already up.
There you go.
Wow. It's hot off the presses like that pancake from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Go back and listen hour one to see what I'm talking about.
There you go. There you have it. See, if you missed Joey V talking about, if you missed Chris talking about Rube Goldberg machines, and Joey V talking about Pee-wee's pancakes, you're going to... You're like, don't you guys talk about politics? Yeah, we do that too.
We're also dating ourselves too.
Yes. Go to wherever you get podcasts and download the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. NewstalkSTL.com, your one-stop shop for everything you need to know. And download our app. As our promo says, as our little promotional advertisement says, the great Jim Modulin's voice there, your phone is your radio. All you got to do is download the NewstalkSTL app, and you can listen to us literally around the planet. I mean, how fantastic is that? We've got Dr. Randy Tolbert coming up. That's pretty fantastic.
Always.
He's going to join us at 5:25. He, of course, can be heard every Saturday morning here from 6 to 9 a.m. Dr. Randy Tolbert is a fixture in the St. Louis radio market every Saturday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. He's been doing it for decades. He's fantastic. He's also the host of Wake Up Missouri, middays if you're ever in mid-Missouri land, on 93.9 The Eagle out of Columbia. We'll talk to Doc Tobler about all the big headlines of the day, what he thinks about this Trump lawfare, and so much more. All right, without further ado, how about we get to the fact that the Bragg case is the height of bogusness.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at HansonsTree.com.
So, two fellas that I really look up to and esteem, two incredible writers, speakers, authors, commentators, academics in their own right. Hans von Spakovsky of the Daily Signal and of the Heritage Foundation, and Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. They both have written pieces recently. Victor Davis's was kind of an extended quote that I'll read you last. But Hans von Spakovsky did an epic takedown of the New York prosecution by Alvin Bragg. He says it's a bogus case by a bogus prosecutor. And I know what he means there. The case is bogus for all the reasons Chris and I have discussed throughout the show today. The prosecutor's bogus because, you know what? Doesn't Alvin Bragg have more serious things to do? I mean, don't we see on the nightly news every night the horror show that Manhattan and the other four boroughs have become in the once mighty state of New York, then the city, once mighty city of New York, a city that I spent a lot of time in my university and law school years. I'm devastated by what's happened in New York. I feel for all of my friends that are still there. Many of them have fled the city and gone out to the suburbs and beyond. Hans von wrote just a few days ago, there are many reasons why legal experts are questioning the legitimacy of the criminal prosecution of Donald Trump. The major reason is the main claim in Alvin Bragg's case that Trump's $130,000 settlement payment of a potential claim by Stormy Daniels was a campaign-related expense is totally bogus. Hans von gave us a quick tutorial on why Bragg doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. I don't have the time to read the whole thing to you right now, but what Hans provides you is a federal campaign finance law tutorial for dummies 101, is what he reports it. An apropos title given what's going on. Couple quick excerpts here. So, as we all know, Daniels claims that she had a sexual encounter with Trump in 2006. 2006. Folks, let that sink in, first of all. First of all, so we're talking about an incident that happened approximately 18 years ago, 10 years before the 2016 presidential election. For payment, she agreed to sign a non-disclosure agreement, standard provision in many settlement agreements, and personal injury cases and other claims. All of that, folks, everything I just told you, yes, it's tawdry. Yes, it's scintillating. Yes, it's something that the tabloids have loved to write about. And even once esteemed networks like the Communist News Network and MSDNC, none of it is illegal. So Bragg then says, well, Trump falsified business records about that matter. Well, guess what? That's a misdemeanor under New York law, at best, when this payment was listed as legal expenses instead of a campaign expense. Now, Bragg has supposedly converted these business misdemeanors, which, by the way, the statute of limitations, it ran on them many, many years ago. Remember I told you that the sexual encounter occurred in 2006, 10 years before Donald Trump decided he was running for president, 18 years ago by the time this case was brought to. I know not a single crime except for maybe first degree murder and some other really serious horrific offenses that get a statute of limitations longer than, let's say, 10 years. So Bragg is converting these misdemeanors into felonies because he says Trump was concealing another crime. What was that other crime? Well, after 18 days of testimony in this New York courtroom, we still don't know. But according to prosecutors in speaking outside the courtroom, they've claimed it's a violation of a certain section of New York law that makes it a misdemeanor to promote the election of any person to public office by unlawful means. So they're taking two misdemeanors and then combining with a third misdemeanor regarding election law that they say somehow converts this whole freaking concocted mess of WD-40 and duct tape into a felony. Besides the fact that it's very strange, Hans writes, to allege that the commission of a misdemeanor for the purpose of covering up the commission of another misdemeanor is enough to allege a felony. So, folks, I just told you, all the actual charges in this case, misdemeanor, misdemeanor, misdemeanor. So how do we have a felony trial? I don't know. And neither does Hans von Spakovsky, and neither does any other legal expert. The only plausible legal theory, Hans writes, is that Bragg is pushing for the alleged, quote, unlawful means under the statute was a violation of federal law by concealing a campaign-related payment. Then Hans goes on to say, but wait a minute. If it's a federal, if we don't have a state felony, but we have a federal felony. What jurisdiction does Bragg have as a state-based prosecutor? So you have New York misdemeanor, New York misdemeanor, New York misdemeanor, all technically prohibited by the statute of limitations, somehow bootstrapped onto a federal election law violation, which the Federal Elections Commission decided did not exist, and over which Alvin Bragg, a state-based prosecutor, doesn't have jurisdiction, but he's going to go ahead and prosecute it anyway. Are you with me? Are you following me? Is this all completely and utterly convoluted and complicated? Absolutely 1,000,000,000%. Because it is. It's all a complete and utter sham. I want to wrap up by telling you what Victor Davis Hanson said recently about this case and all of the lawfare, because this is what all this really means. Victor Davis Hanson wrote, "None of the five civil and criminal cases currently lodged against Donald Trump have ever had any merit. These criminal and civil trials are merely the continuation of extra legal efforts of the last 8 years to destroy a presidential candidate in lieu of actually just opposing him in a transparent election. Enemies like China and Russia now boast that America's new political persecutions are similar to their own systems, or even more egregious, and will welcome us into their own customs of bastardized justice, not company that we want to keep. Latin American, African, and Asian dictators are delighted the U.S. has lost the moral authority to lecture them and the rest of the world on the need for a disinterested and independent judiciary and the rule of law. Our democratic allies in Europe and Asia are increasingly disturbed that the instability and unlawfulness apparent in the current lawfare put into question the reliability of the United States and its adherence to a rules-based order, whether at home or abroad. Any president who would sic the justice system on his opponent might be equally vindictive and lawless to his allies abroad. It's precedent setting and not in a good way." And that's the speaker's stump speech for today.
I mean, this is amazing what we are witnessing. We've seen in Europe where a president or a prime minister leaves office and ends up being charged with crimes. The former president of France is being accused of a crime. Remember the charismatic leader of Italy? I forgot his name. He owned a bunch of media properties, newspapers, and everything. He was called kind of the Trump before he was Trump. He was arrested after he was as prime minister and was held on charges. We see that all the time in Europe, and especially in the banana republics and down in South America. But I thought I would never, ever see this in the United States. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous on its face that here is a president, former president of the United States, that's being charged in four separate trials with 91 charges.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous. And it's laughable to think that any of that, is credible, that Donald Trump has been that corrupt. That corrupt in his presidency and during his life, and now it's all coming to a head now.
And meanwhile, as you pointed out in Chris's corner, Democrats are allowed to run wild with hardly any introspection by the media at all. Very dangerous place in which we find ourselves, very similar to tin pot dictatorships in third world nations.
Exactly.
We used to just let presidents, even ones that had inauspicious endings like Richard Nixon, were allowed to go and return quietly to their private lives.
And that's when you had statesmen. I mean, look, Gerald Ford sacrificed his chance to become president of the United States when he pardoned Richard Nixon. I think he knew that, but he did it for the benefit of the country, that we all need to come together, heal the wounds, and to keep America strong. And he sacrificed his political career. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that.
That's what used to set us apart from those other nations. And now we no longer can say that. It's a shame. Well, let's talk to Dr. Andy Tolber. Maybe he can lift up our spirits and give us a little bit of brightness here, and that hope that happy days may be here again. Dr. Andy Tolber, host of The Randy Tolber Show, he's going to join Chris and I next here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The cost of living in many areas is very high, and it is a concern to Americans, and it is President Biden's top priority to do all he can to bring down the cost of living.
Do these people hear themselves when they speak,
No.
Do you think?
They're just read the talking points given them to them by KJP. That's scary.
So Janet Yellen says, "Happy days are here again, and yeah, things are really expensive." Yeah, how did they become expensive, Ms. Treasury Secretary? Chris, maybe our next guest, with all his many degrees and his brilliant, gigantic cranium, can help us fill in the blanks.
Gentlemen, we're about to enter the fascinating sphere of police work. The world of forensic medicine.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer. Doctor,
give me the... He's at Randy Tobler, MD, on Twitter X, and he can be found every Saturday morning here from 6 to 9 a.m. at News Talk STL, and throughout the week on Wake Up Missouri. Wake Up Mid-Missouri on 93.9, The Eagle, out of Columbia Land. Doc, Janet Yellen, the esteemed Treasury Secretary, says, just believe our lying eyes when it comes to Bidenomics and Bidenflation.
You know what? You thought I might be able to decipher this, Tim. And yes, I have studied a lot of things, and I'm realizing there's one competency I have not developed, and that is Bidenese.
Mm-hmm.
And they all speak Bidenese up there. Yellen speaks it. Mayorkas speaks it. They all speak this alternative universe where when they say something's black, it's white. When something is true, it's false. When the economy's good, it sucks. I mean, how can they be looking at the personal finances of people, the rising credit card debt? Someone told me the other day, just today, in fact, I was talking with a good friend of mine, went to one of the restaurants, and, you know, we all know it. You can get some semi-healthy food there sometimes, great coffee. They make a lot of great pastries, a lot of breads and stuff. and I won't mention them. And they're no different than anyone else. But a little kid's meal for the child, a couple of glasses of tea, and a sandwich and a soup, $47.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Janet Yellen finds that that is somehow reflective of a good economy, she's got another thing coming. Hmm. And these people, it just proves once again that these folks are so lost in their la-la land, the bubble that is D.C., the collusionary, incestuous relationship between big government, big campaign donations, and the revolving door of politics and big industry, that they're just insulated from it. They all live in, you know, these gated communities. They jet set around on the taxpayer dime and tell us everything's good when we're dying out here. We are dying out here.
Dr. Tobler, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 says, regarding Israel, I will bless those who bless you. Your thoughts on the revelation this week that the United States government has been withholding sensitive intelligence from Israel regarding Hamas's rulers, leaders, your thoughts?
You know, it's really fascinating to me that this is the real story of betrayal. You know, I heard this and I thought, holy cow. You know, everyone's annoyed and upset and really frustrated that the offensive weapons that could get this job done, if it can be done, and I still wonder if you can. I mean, you can't, it's really hard to clean out termites from your house. You know, it's very, very difficult once they get in the house. It's very difficult. And I think Hamas is so deeply entrenched in that Gaza Strip and in tunnelways and basements and nooks and crannies that we don't even know. It's tough. But I guess that makes the point. If you're going to root them out with the offensive weapons that you would like to be getting and paying for, by the way, this is not given, you'd need to know where those people are. And if Joe Biden's real ambition and claimed, you know, expectation is that we're going to spare civilian lives and just target precisely the bad guys, why in God's green earth would you withhold intelligence? It's this alternate universe. Good is bad. Bad is good. Everything is opposite the way they say it is. And everything they do is the opposite way of the right way to do things. It's amazing.
And Randy, doesn't it prove the point that so many have made about Joe Biden, even Barack Obama, even Bob Gates, who's one of the most non-political partisan defense secretaries we've ever said, they have said throughout the decades that Joe Biden is always on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision. It's not just Republicans and people on the right he's had disagreements with. He's had disagreements even with his own party. And somehow, Randy, it's almost like he intentionally tries to be on the wrong side of the issue. I mean, you talk about Bidenese, it's like it's this Biden blunders as well. And you wonder, you know, is it nothing more than Joe Biden just thinks he's more clever than everybody and he's going to go down the hard road and take the wrong path to try to maybe make some kind of new alternate reality? But when you're appeasing Iran on a daily basis, which is really what's behind all of this with Israel, I mean, maybe you should wake up and realize that supporting the world's largest state sponsor of terror is not a place for the president of the United States to be, right?
No, he's been on the wrong side of history when it comes to foreign policy all the way along. Well, at least we can say he's consistent, right?
I guess.
But I mean, what's really tragic about it, if you think, you know, we think about those halcyon days of the Trump economy when, as the economy, the sea level of the economy rose, all ships rose as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on foreign policy, Donald Trump did probably one of the most amazing things that any foreign policy president has done in maybe in my lifetime, and that is the Abraham Accords. An amazing thing to essentially create what was the beginning and a pretty solid neighborhood watch around the Middle East, right?
Mm-hmm,
and he handed that on a silver platter to Joe Biden. What did he do? Starting with the Afghanistan withdrawal and then on and on and on, one faux pas after another. It's sad, if it wasn't so tragic, you'd want to laugh at it. But I mean, you talk about the innocent lives that are being lost, the people that are held under Hamas's dominion. No one likes to see those people perish in the quest for eradicating Hamas. But if Biden would have been more strident in his support and remained that way, instead of going exactly the other way around, 180 degrees around now, when victory is nearly upon the Israelis in their quest for eradicating Hamas, this thing had maybe been over by now. It's amazing. This guy knows how to grab defeat from the jaws of victory more than anyone I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tobler, I want to read you a quote from the executive editor of the New York Times and get your thoughts on it. He said, quote, Trump could win the popular vote in November, and it is not the job of the news media to prevent that from happening. It's the job of Biden and the people around Biden to prevent that from happening. I don't even know how it's supposed to work in the view of Dan Pfeiffer of the White House. We become an instrument of the Biden campaign. We turn ourselves into the Xinhua news agency or Pravda or put out a stream of stuff that's very, very favorable to them and only write negative stories about the other side, and that would accomplish what? Dr. Tobler, is the news media having an awakening here, or how do you assess this?
Yeah, this is interesting. Well, I think they're probably in a fight for their existential lives. You know, if you think about it, when you've gone down the wrong path and maybe, you know, bought some kind of a narrative from a salesman or become some part of a group and you find out, oh, my God, are they heading the wrong way? You know, we've all done that. We've, you know, you bought into some narrative and you start drinking someone's Kool-Aid or think you're drinking the right Kool-Aid and it isn't. You think you're drinking, you know, Yank Lang Lang when it's actually Bud Light. You know, you find that, hey, I better reverse course or I'm going to be in big trouble. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my job. I mean, whatever. And I think we've all been in those positions when we sort of became inculcated into something that, you know, we later found out just isn't right. Maybe that's right. On the other hand, this could be a subtle and sort of a subliminal, you know, Paul Revere. It's like, hey, you guys, look at the writings on the wall. Do you want to erase it or can you erase it? You better start now. I don't know. I mean, the print media has been dying and now, you know, digital media, even some of the legacy digital media sites are in big trouble as independent news reporting, the man and woman on the street with a cell phone, you know, and the cell phone microphone. Sometimes they're doing more honest to God, you know, man on the street reporting and really getting into things. And people are just abandoning the legacy media. And so maybe it's a cry for help and an existential Hail Mary. I don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yet, Dr. Tober, that legacy media is going to do, even though they're currently being somewhat critical of Joe Biden and his presidency, they're going to shift course, aren't they, as we approach November? And they're going to try, you know, the only thing worse than Joe Biden for them would be Donald Trump returning to 1600 Pennsylvania. So even though all indicators are that the Biden presidency is a failure, that polls have him so deep and upside down and underwater everywhere that there's no way he can get reelected, Doc, we know that so many Democrats and those on the left, they're going to hold their noses if they bother to vote, and they're going to pull that lever for Joe Biden because that's what they've been trained to do. Whereas on the right, you know, we've got a lot of people who are suspect about Donald Trump, so on and so forth. And so this is going to be a tough election, isn't it? What do you think Republicans need to do? What is the drumbeat message need to be from now until Election Day, which is less than 6 months away?
Yeah, I think the primary drumbeats need to be focus on those hardcore kitchen table issues, right? Economy, law and order, border security, a strong, big stick, speak softly but carry a big stick kind of a foreign policy. And I think, diminish and sort of de-emphasize the cultural issues, because that's really, that along with the threat to democracy, J6, those are the only things. And those are really not prominent in people's minds. But they can easily get emotionalized by especially the abortion issues. So, Well, I think we can still maintain, when asked, that we're pro-life, that we absolutely defend life at all times. We don't need to start the discussion with that. I think we need to emphasize the strong points, play your strong hand. And here's something else I think Republican Party in general ought to brace for, and certainly the Trump campaign. I'm not sure if what you just talked about with the New York Times and sort of this increasing criticism from MSNBC and others, it's out there in pockets, CNN. Don't be surprised if that turns into an absolute cannibalistic assault on Joe Biden, resulting in a is it a Gavin Newsom? Is it someone else? That would be potentially cataclysmic. We'd have to really watch out for an end around to the new candidate.
Dr. Tobe, I got a tough question for you, but I want Joy to play cut three first, and I want to get your answer on the other side.
Apparently, there is a question going viral on TikTok right now that asks, would you rather be alone in the woods with a man or a bear? And a considerable number of women said they'd rather take their chances with the bear. I'm going with the bear also because, yes, the bear will not shoot me. Huh? He's not going to go.
Yeah.
No,
he's not going to do that.
No.
Grizzlies will gnaw on you.
Yeah.
But if you've been standing there long enough to see the grizzly coming, you the dummy.
Dr. Tober, think carefully before you answer. But are you going with the bear or the man in the woods?
Well, I don't know. But all I can say is that Whoopi Goldberg will probably be okay with the bear because she's no longer menstruating.
went with the gynecological humor there, Dr. Tobler. I love it.
No, really, I've had patients who actually have been attacked by, nearly attacked by bears. So you got to watch it if you're going hiking, gals, in the Colorado Rockies this year. That aside, free medical advice, no copay. I don't know. I'd rather be. I don't know. I think I'd.
Remember, the bear can gnaw on you, as Whoopi says. The bear can gnaw on you.
Not if I have my high-powered Ted Nugent signed rifle with me.
All you gun happy white males out there, you know. Oh man, I'll tell you what, she is something else.
Give me the bear and a gun.
any day. Well, that's Dr. Randy Tobler. He is a doctor and a comedian as well as a radio host. You can find him at Randy Tobler MD 24/7, and you can also find him here at News Talk STL every Saturday morning 6 to 9 a.m. If you happen to be in Mid Missouri, tune him in on 93.9 The Eagle out of Columbia.
And I think Whoopi's answer again gives credence to Michael Savage's very popular book title, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder.
Absolutely. There's not enough medications for that.
That's right. Dr. Tolbert will continue to diagnose them every Saturday morning here on News Talk STL. Doc, thanks so much for everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you. We'll see you.
Always a fun segment, and you never know where we're going to go. Yes. That is for sure. Well, Chris, just like that, it's 5:45 in the p.m. We're about to wrap things up, but go nowhere. We got one jam-packed segment left. There's lots more you need to know, and we'll prepare you for what's going to be a very exciting Larry Connors USA. Got a very interesting tease today that Larry sent Chris and I. We'll tell you that when we come back as well. And wrap things up with Joey V and yours truly, along with the one and only Chris Arps, next on the Tim Jones and Chris Arps Show, 101.9, 94.1, the number one station in the region for live and local conservative talk, News Talk, STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
An Iron County man is lucky he wasn't electrocuted after police say he broke into a South St. Louis Ameren substation. Police say they found Marion Keenan in a van next to the substation on Chippewa with 35 feet of copper wiring.
They say the fence around the property of the substation had been cut, and inside the structure they found extensive damage to the lines delivering electricity to neighbors. Kurt Selman is one of the 2,500 customers to lose power after the break. The damage to the substation, an estimated $100,000.
5:52 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, and I can tell you from personal experience how irritating it is as a former landlord to have people break into your property and steal the copper pipes out of that. The amount of money that they get from the scrapyard compared to how much I had to pay for the copper wiring, how much I had to pay for someone to install that in there in the pipes, is just incredible. Hey, let me give you a perspective here. Now, they said that 2,500 without power, he caused $100,000 worth of damage. These are the spot copper prices in St. Louis currently, Tim. Number one, copper, you get $3.45 a pound.
Oh, boy.
Number two, copper, $3.25 a pound. Insulated copper wire, which this gentleman stole, number one, $1.75 a pound. Insulated wire, copper wire, number two, $1.35 a pound. So this guy basically caused $100,000 worth of damage, 2,500 people without power, and he's probably going to get probably about $25 for all of that. If he wouldn't have gotten, apparently he's gotten caught, but if he wouldn't have gotten caught, he probably would have netted probably about $25.
He could get a job these days making $20 an hour in most places, right? At least, at a minimum, entry level, they're paying like 15 to 20 bucks an hour. Instead, he's ripping off copper wire and causing people all this headache, heartache, and havoc.
And not to mention, he almost potentially fried himself.
Killed himself.
Dealing with transformers. Like, dude, is your wife worth $25 worth of copper? And
people are crazy, man.
People are crazy. You know, we are talking about the sweepstakes with Donald Trump. He's probably not going to make his decision anytime soon because it's the only thing that's really titillating with the campaign. So he's going to drag it out as much as he can.
Yep.
Tim, we've got a gauge of who the billionaires that are around Donald Trump, who they would like to see as vice president.
Do tell.
Billionaire Ike Perlmutter. He is backing New York Representative Elise Stefanik. I should have got how these people made their money, but you know their names.
Okay.
Rupert Murdoch, of course, owner of Fox, said here he has hinted to several friends who move in Trump's social circles that he would be happy with Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, as a vice president. And GOP mega donor Larry Ellison, isn't he the one that founded Oracle, I think? He and a bunch of real estate agents and moguls, excuse me, out in South Carolina, they are hoping for Senator Tim Scott to be the vice president. But the person that's really rising up the ranks is North Dakota Governor Burgum. And part of the reason is, I think, he's kind of low-key. He won't compete with Trump when it comes to attention.
No.
And two, Burgum sold his startup in 2001 for $1.1 billion to Microsoft. So he is plenty flush with cash. That is some of the concerns that a lot of people have with the Trump campaign is, will they be able to raise dollar for dollar with the Biden campaign? So far, they have not, even though Donald Trump is raising a lot of money. But if you could bring somebody onto the ticket that's worth billions of dollars, that could help out in that measure. And here's something, Tim, I know this is going to absolutely shock you. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan,
okay,
it says he does not plan on voting for Donald Trump.
Not saying.
Does that shock you?
Not at all. Not at all.
Paul Ryan said, quote, character is important to me. And he said the presidency is a job that requires the kind of character Trump does not have. So, real shockers there.
So, he's going to vote for Biden, the Boy Scout?
I guess so.
I doubt it. I guess he'll just stay home.
Who knows? Great show, guys,
yes, sir.
Today. Coming up next, Larry Connors, USA. You know, we have Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation on Thursdays. Well, you know what? You're going to get a double dose of Steve Bucci this week. Larry has Steve Bucci on at after the show from 6 to 8. He also says, what's the connection to the 200 chickens and a Trump trial? Larry will answer that question. And Senator Kennedy is going to explain that. And powerful Christian testimony by a KC Chiefs player. So you want to hang on to that. Listen to Larry Connor, USA, from 6 to 8. You have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe and have a great day.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.